Welcome to show number 82 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. Hey, what's up, everybody? We are back on the show, and it's great to be back. Took about a month off from the podcast, but it wasn't like we didn't have things going on the forum and things going on the website and stuff like that. So just a break from the podcast kind of recharged the batteries, and that kind of brings us why we're here today, to talk to you about your collections. We're going to talk about, like, recharging your batteries. I hear maybe some, I see, like, especially when you're pruning the trading forums on the forums, and like people selling their cards and stuff. A lot of people are like, I'm getting out of the hobby. I'm selling all my basketball cards. I'm selling all my football cards. I'm selling my whole collection. And you kind of wonder why did they totally go out of the hobby? Maybe all they needed to really do was maybe take a break, kind of recharge the batteries, and get things going in a different direction. And sometimes that helps in your collection, and maybe you've kind of gone through this in your own collection. But we'll talk about some of the kind of things. If you're kind of frustrated with your collection, or you kind of, you know, maybe you've got a certain player that you collect and you've gotten as many cards as you possibly could afford, or you're kind of going through and maybe buying doubles of some of the nicer cards that you have, we'll talk about maybe, hey, refocusing, maybe trying to get something new. I think we've talked about this definitely on the show before, but it's always good to kind of come up with these shows maybe every 6 months, every quarter, every however long it is, because I think a lot of us, myself included, definitely over the years, it's over 20 years that I've been collecting, but those whole 20 years, I definitely was collecting more often than other times, and definitely now more than I have in the past, even as I've recorded this podcast. So definitely been buying more cards and stuff like that. But it definitely takes a little bit of focus, takes a little bit of drive, and definitely a little bit of motivation. So we'll definitely talk about those kind of things on today's show. We'll probably get to that here very shortly. And then we'll talk about Topps Chrome Baseball that came out. And then we'll probably wrap it up with who knows what. We'll just talk about some other hobby stuff and some other things going on that might be going on in your collection or other people's collections. And who knows what collections are out there. But anyways, let's just jump right into maybe re-energizing, since I'm pretty excited about being here on the podcast today and talking to you about cards and stuff like that, since it has been a month. And sometimes that same feeling comes back when you haven't been collecting cards for a while. Say you were collecting for a while, you got some good hits, and maybe you only collected for a season, because a lot of the products, as you know, tend to be kind of rookie heavy. And so sometimes you get wrapped up into maybe collecting a season because your team has a hot rookie and things like that. But sometimes maybe a year will go by and your team kind of sucks, kind of like the Bengals and other teams that I've rooted for in the past. Or sometimes they don't have those hot rookies, so collecting might be kind of expensive. Like in the case of, like, we watched tonight, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, they were throwing touchdowns, and even Drew Brees was doing good. It's kind of expensive to collect their cards, so sometimes you get priced out, and you kind of need to recharge the batteries and kind of get a refocus. So I've got a couple ideas here from myself, and then we got some ideas from a couple members on our fan forum. So we'll start off with limit your budget. You'd really be shocked at how exciting it actually is to only spend $20 or $30 or $40 or whatever kind of budget you want to place on yourself. I think the lower you go, the better, because what it ends up doing is really makes you focus on that purchase. If you're like, hey, I'm only going to spend $20 total on cards, whether it's I'm at Target and I'm walking through the line and I see the blaster boxes over there, the rack packs, or I'm driving to In-N-Out Burger or something and the card store's right there, but I'm only going to spend $20. So it really makes you, you know, decide, hey, am I going to buy a single card online, or am I going to go to the card store and buy a couple packs, or see if they have any singles, or if I'm going to buy supplies. I guess you could throw those in there. You could just throw the whole hobby into one budget and limit your budget and see how that goes for a couple months. See if that actually kind of energizes you, gets you focused a little bit. And then once you get focused on, say, hey, I like collecting these cards, or I've had success buying cards at this card store, or waiting until this card show came up or something like that, limit your budget. See how far that takes you. You'd be surprised how fun it is. Sometimes it does open you up to selling if you don't sell cards, to free up maybe some budget and some money. You could sell off some of your collection. You could add that to your budget. So some people try that. I know my brother is absolutely murdering me in the challenge that we're having right now. He's selling a bunch of low-dollar cards. So people think junk wax or like 90s players or even retired players, most of the players don't even play, don't sell. He's selling those cards every day. It's incredible. So you can limit your budget. You can buy cards that people are buying. It seems like quite a bit, at least in my brother's case. And you can have a little bit of fun with it. So I think giving that a shot, having whatever kind of budget, if you tend to, I think this really works for if you're the kind of collector where your budget really sways, where you go to the card store and you just drop $150 on a bunch of cards and packs and boxes. And then 1 month you might not collect at all. Whereas kind of limiting your budget, you're like, hey, I got $20 to spend on cards this month, or I got even maybe $200 if you have a nice job and some money, $200 a month on cards, you're going to almost feel obligated to spend it. So that's also another reason to, you know, kind of reduce your budget or kind of make a strict spending limit, because you can kind of, you know, get an idea of what you're going to spend, do a little bit of research month to month. You know what to expect. You're never going to go over that and really kind of get burned that way, because I think a lot of people get burnt out of the hobby that way is because they spend too much or they kind of get in over their head on a certain collection or whatever it might be. But kind of limiting yourself and pacing yourself, know that you're going to be alive for a while. You have plenty of years to collect, so you could work on those as things go on. Another idea is buy lots. I always kind of surf through. You got to do a lot of surfing, so you got to have some time in your hand. You got to have one of those like office jobs where you can surf the internet, or you can like do it at home at night when the kids are in bed or whatever it might be. Buy lots on eBay or from collectors on forums too. I notice a lot of people, I bought some cards on Sports Card Forum and some of the other forums. Just buying certain cards. Some people just having, you know, cards that they need to sell or whatever it might be, and they have a pretty good price. So I've been doing that and seeing how it goes. But you can find a lot of them on eBay actually. And so, you know, it's actually kind of interesting. You see most of the like autographs and jersey card lots, you're going to pay like at least a dollar a card. But hey, you know, you never know. Sometimes there's like 100 lots, 200 lots. Sometimes they really describe what's in there. Sometimes it's a little more vague. So if you're more the gambler, if you're someone that really likes to, you know, maybe have some fun into it, it's more like kind of opening boxes. I see a lot of lots out there. That's kind of hard to say. Out there on eBay and other sites where, you know, they show 10 cards or 15 cards in a scan and they're like, you're going to get these and like 70 other cards that are pretty similar, you know what I mean? And nobody, you know, there are no Drew Brees autograph rookies and stuff like that, because that always gets sold on its own. But it's a lot of $1.50 cards and stuff like that. But my brother, again, going back to our trading card challenge, my brother had a good success. He picked up like a dollar, paid I think less than a dollar for about 20 autographs, and Brandon Belt happened to be one of them before he was in the major leagues, and I think he sold it for like $10, so he got like half his money back on one card, so, or more than half his money back on one card. So sometimes if you're into selling, another thing where if you're into selling, kind of moving cards in and out, you know, buying lots of cards where you're getting a lot of no-name players, players out of the league, players that you don't want to collect, you're going to end up with a lot of cardboard. So you're going to have to trade. It's perfect for if you want trade bait, or if you want to sell cards on Check Out My Cards or Online Again, or like if you have other avenues to sell cards where you set up a table at a card show or something like that. That's a little bit more outside the realm. But hey, if you're bored with the hobby and you really want to take it to the next level, I'm not going to say don't quit your day job and think you're going to flip $1 out of the league cards and stuff like that at a card show or on eBay or something like that and make a ton of money. But it's something that does keep it kind of fun. It keeps the money cycling through your budget and stuff like that, keeps that fresh, unless you're just like a super high roller and you could just blow hundreds on cards and just do it that way. Buying lots, that you definitely have to turn around and maybe trade some of it or sell some of it some other way. And so that might be kind of a riskier move, but it would keep it interesting. You would have a lot to go through, and keep so half of the fun of cards is like getting them. When you're opening packs, it's like the excitement of like flipping through and being like, man, I hope I get something good here. But then when you get even a bunch of cards that you know, even when it's your own collection, and it's always fun to just flip through your cards, especially if you have a bunch of them, because you end up forgetting about half of them, and you flip through them, and you're like, hey, do I have any Randall Cobb rookies from this year? That would be pretty good right now, and things like that. So we'll see how things progress in that area. If you want to give that a shot and it works for you, always send me an email at sportscardshow@gmail.com. My next tip for you is travel to a card store or a card show. And since I own my own store for a while, I did travel to some other stores, usually just talk to people, see how things are going at their shop and stuff like that, but I was never a buyer. Well, the last couple months, I've been going to this card store in Modesto called Cryer's Cards, and the majority of their store is devoted to gaming, and I don't blame them for this, because usually whenever I go in there, there's like 20 or 30 people playing this stuff. It's unbelievable, the amount of people. There's people like out in the parking lot just like chilling, like trading cards and stuff like that. So there is quite a community doing that, and they probably profit fairly well. They make decent money selling those cards, and they kind of have like sports cards tucked into the back. But they do have a good selection of boxes and stuff like that. I wouldn't say that you're going to save a bunch of money going there, but I have found good single cards, and they do have like boxes and supplies and all that kind of stuff. And so those are always convenient to pick up at a store. But aside from that, going to these stores kind of is exciting. Like I said, I've picked up some cards. I found some cards where they were out of, you know, if you're familiar with the moments and milestones from Tops, a lot of the cards are like numbered out of 29 or like 150, but there's like 25 or 30 different versions. There are a bunch of different versions, so the cards really aren't that rare. But I found a bunch in a dollar bin that was like Albert Pujols and Mickey Mantle and Ichiro and stuff like that. So I was like, man, this is pretty cool. So sometimes you find things like that. I've been to card shows recently in San Francisco. I've been to one there, I guess not recently, I guess a couple months ago, but I guess I haven't been to a bunch of them. But I went to that one, and it's always fun to get a couple nice pickups. You know, you spend 20 or 30 bucks, and it's always kind of fun. So those are always exciting. I would recommend you know, if you don't, most people don't live in an area where, you know, you have card stores. If you do have one, you're lucky. Even if you find that they don't have good prices or whatever, you don't really like it, it is kind of cool just to go in there, see what's going on, see, you know, you can always flip through the magazine sometimes for free in there, and you can just see if they have anything cool in there. And it's always fun. There's maybe some other people in there. I don't really talk to a whole lot of people when I'm in card stores, but I always like overhearing conversations. You got people talking about different cards. Sometimes they're talking about business. Sometimes they're talking about all kinds of stuff. So it's always kind of fun just to go in there. But definitely card shows. If you can travel to one, if you can, you know, find one in your area, those are always fun because you always can find some different deals and things like that. And I think I've always said this on the show, but if you go to a card show, maybe I should have said, if I've always said this on the podcast, but if you go to a card show, I definitely recommend going on the first day, because that's when everybody has all their stuff out. I know, you know, sometimes sellers and dealers that have tables are a little slow putting all their memorabilia and all their cards out on a table all at once. So if you get there right when it shows up, you might see a lot of setting up still. Guys might not have all the cards out of the boxes. There might not be prices, things like that. You might not always get the best deals on the first day, but you definitely get a lot of the, you know, best selection on that day, because the more rare cards and the more sought after cards are probably going to be gone by the second, third day of a 3-day show. But definitely going the last day, if you're looking for deals, going the last day, realize a lot of these people are packing all these boxes of cards and all these autographs and stuff into a van or some kind of truck, and they're driving to who knows where to travel with all that. So any amount that they can sell off is for gas to get home, is for, you know, In-N-Out Burger or whatever. I definitely have a craving for In-N-Out Burger, as you can tell. It being like 10:30 at night, they're probably the only thing open. But these people are going to have to travel long distance with this stuff, so they're definitely willing to cut you a deal. So you'd be amazed. You know, you might not have the selection there, but you might be able to piece together, if you find a bunch of cards, or you find, you know, maybe they have some 8x10s or whatever, some funky memorabilia or whatever. You could throw it all together in a lot, make them an offer, and hey, if they're about to leave, they're just like, they might just be like, cool. So those are some tips if you go to show. But in terms of re-energizing your collection, I think it gets you out there. You see other collectors that are passionate, that had that, maybe even had that passion that you had when you first started collecting, or when you were really hot on a certain player or a certain set or whatever it might be, you'll see other collectors out there and you'll be like, man, hey, that used to be me right there. So it sometimes inspires you, sometimes gets you motivated to get your own collection back up to par, back where you think it really should be. The next advice is one I hear a lot. None of these are my own original advice. In fact, none of the content you hear usually on the podcast is my own original advice. I just spend time reading forums, reading what other people say, reading blogs, reading Twitter, reading what people say about the hobby, because that's really what interests me quite a bit. And this is one I see out there, that if you're frustrated or if you don't know where to go with the hobby, is make big purchases only. And this can apply to single cards, it can apply to boxes, it can apply to memorabilia, it can apply to game-worn memorabilia or whatever it might be, autographed, you know, Upper Deck authenticated type stuff or Panini authenticated type stuff. Whatever it might be, just make big purchases. Now, this type of person, I think this type of person, you've got to be the kind of person that is able to save up a little bit of money and hold that money somewhere, whether it's in a bank account or whatever, you know, if you like gold or whatever investment you want to put that money into, preferably cash at the current moment. But however you want to hold that money, you got to be able to hold it up. Unless you just got money flowing in all the time. Typically, if you're going to make a $300, $400, $500, $600, $700, $800 purchase, to most people that's your mortgage, that's like your rent, you know what I mean? So most of us got to save that money up and like plan for that purchase. So if you like to plan for purchases and save up money, I think this is a great idea. This is a great thing to get you motivated and stuff like that. I think I've thought about this. I don't really have the budget, although my brother got some nice two James Worthy autographs, I think for about $35-$40 each. To me that's a big purchase. So I think anywhere in that $40 to $50 range for a single card, I think you're edging right there onto a fairly big purchase. Obviously, there's some players like an autograph Tom Brady rookie is not going to be $50. But there's a lot of cards out there, you know, for $50. You might be able to get a Tom Brady autograph, you know, fourth, fifth, you know, 2011 for $50, maybe. I don't really know. I don't know his just straight street value for those. But those are the kind of purchases I'm talking about. Pick a player for single card purposes. Pick a player or a type of set or a rookie or whatever you want to do, a sick patch autograph or a sweet Kobe Bryant or, you know, whatever it is. Just make that big purchase. Save up the money or just drop your money all on that. For boxes, just focus on the $150, $250, $300, $400 boxes, because if you're not excited about the hobby anymore and you've been buying boxes, say you've been buying like $80 boxes, $100 boxes, you've been buying whatever's come out there and it hasn't been exciting you, and a $300 box doesn't excite you, or a $500 box doesn't excite you, or you could do cases. Like if opening up a single box doesn't work for you, say you spend $300 on wax every month or every 2 months. Instead of doing that, maybe save up for like 3 months, find a product that you really like or one that you've had success with or has a bunch of your players in it or whatever, maybe a hot product. Save up for 2 or 3 months, get to $900, $1,000, $1,200, whatever it takes to get some of these big cases, and plop it down and see what you can do on a case. You know, you're always, usually these have case hits and stuff like that, so you're always guaranteed something cool, I guess. So that, if that doesn't get you excited, if popping a $300 box or $500 box of Topps, you know, five-star football or whatever from last year, or like a case of whatever, you know, National Treasures basketball, if opening up a case of that doesn't get you excited, then I don't know. Maybe you'll try this next thing on our list. This is maybe for a similar person, is actually building sets. Again, not another original idea, but if you're frustrated with your collection and you're the kind of person that really likes maybe going through your cards, you really like stacking the boxes up and labeling everything and keeping everything organized and stuff like that, building sets is really the way to go. And you don't necessarily have to build the whole set or have to get all the baseball cards or whatever. Building a set is whatever you put the word set around. You know what I mean? Obviously, there's more traditional ways where we could build an insert set, or we could build the whole base set or all the rookies, or I think even a player collector, you're almost building a somewhat of a set of a player if you're trying to get all of Albert Pujols' 2010 base cards and stuff like that, you're somewhat building a set there. So just focusing on that kind of thing, you definitely have to be the kind of person, I think, here where you love kind of keeping track of things, like kind of like an accountant or like those kind of people that really love, you know, I think golf, if you really like golf, because there's so many aspects of golf, you got to practice your chipping, your putting, your half wedges and your full shots and your driver and out of this lie and that lie. It's kind of the same thing with sets. You know, you got to get, you know, there's tons of cards that are easy to get. You can open up a couple packs and fill a lot of your set. But hey, if there's some hot cards, if you're going after serial number cards, or if it's like a jersey set, or if there's some autographs in there and one of them's Mickey Mantle or something like that, you're gonna have trouble. So take some planning, take some foresight, take some you know, patience and those kind of things. So if you have all those things and you've been frustrated, and you haven't been frustrated with opening packs, you've been frustrated with buying cards on eBay, hey, maybe try to build sets, see how that goes. You could do team sets if you're into teams. If you're strictly about one player or certain players, hey, try to accumulate as many cards as you can of a certain player across a bunch of sets, or maybe even just one card. You know, that used to be popular back in 89 when Griffey was out. You know, people would just stack boxes of all the Griffey, 89 Griffeys, you know, just all get as many as they can. And so that doesn't happen maybe as much today. I see a lot of people going, this, I could be wrong about this, but I do see a lot of people maybe going after like one card, and then once they have that one card, they're ready to go on to the next card, because there are so many cards, and most collectors know that most collectors want to be around for a while, and they want to be around this hobby, around the hobby for a while as well. So they know, hey, next year is going to have some more Aaron Rodgers cards. You know, next year Andy Dalton's going to have some cards. They're not going to be rookies, but hey, he'll have some cards too. So those kind of things you need to keep in mind. The last one that I have is going vintage, baby. This is going way back. This is something I know I've preached on this show, and I've wanted to get into this. I've dabbled a little bit with some Lakers basketball cards, but I think the true vintage markets in baseball, and probably a little bit football, but definitely baseball has such a long heritage of baseball cards. It pretty much defines the entire hobby. But going vintage is good, because if you get bored, I know that buying vintage cards tends to be quote unquote boring a little bit. I'll explain my comment there, because these guys don't play anymore. You know, these guys are done. You know, obviously their image and their persona actually gets bigger and bigger as time goes on, and their, you know, collectability actually probably gets better and better as years go on. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but it seems like Babe Ruth hasn't been around in a while, and people still really would like a Babe Ruth card, so especially the old ones. So I don't think that perception is going to change. I think going vintage is for the collector that's really safe, is really like safes and like safes investments. You know, if you really like, you know, keep your money in the bank and you don't invest it, if you keep large amounts of money in checking accounts and savings accounts and things like that, if you you know, you don't like to risk a bunch of money, you don't like to just drop a whole bunch of money and not have any chance of getting any return or have anything to show for it, going vintage is good. Because I think while you can get burned buying vintage, because there's a lot of fakes out there, because some of the cards are, especially buying the very, very valuable ones, there are a lot of fakes out there. But the good thing is there is a fairly healthy, it's pretty much drives the grading card market to a certain extent, because grade does matter in vintage. And that's one of the fun things about collecting vintage is, you know, you can, it goes back to my point about the Griffeys, about getting whole boxes of them. People weren't really doing it in those days for this reason, but in vintage, you could have multiple Mickey Mantles or multiple of any set, just in different condition. I could see you collecting, say, 1969 top set and having one set in like bad, kind of bad condition, where, you know, you got all the cards and lots and they were just flea markets and garage sale type sets in rounded corners. Some of the cards that might have creases and stuff like that, and that might be good enough for you. But, you know, hey, maybe you really want to take it to the next level, you really like that set, or you really like the collectability of that set, etc., since Topps keeps remaking them every year or so and keeps putting out the cards. It does add a little bit, I think. Some people might argue that it may diminish the value of the vintage sets. I think it's like, you know, the Camaro, the new Camaro coming out, didn't, I don't think, diminish the value of the old 1969 Camaros and 1968 Camaros, you know what I mean? I think it only made those even more collectible, you know, and gas came down, it probably would make them more collectible as well. But vintage, I kind of forget my point that I was going to make, but going vintage is a pretty good idea. There are, I think I remember my point now, but you could put together another set in high grade. You know, you could have one set in 1969 and kind of low grade that was pretty easy to put together. But then you could put together the high grade PSA 6 and above, PSA 7 and above, or those kind of caliber of cards. That's a much more daunting challenge because a lot of these cards had printing errors, and some of them I've read that, you know, it's even hard to find like ones that are centered up. So if you really like hunting for things and doing those kind of things, that's kind of taking vintage to the set building era. I think if you want to get into vintage, you can comfortably buy retired Hall of Fame any players, even basketball, but especially baseball and football, I think, to a certain extent too. I think you can comfortably buy these players and feel good about your money. I'm not going to say your money's guaranteed, you're going to be able to sell it, because who knows what economic times. Nobody needs a car. I love San Jose Fuji's to kind of mooch one of his points. He says we're collecting something. He said something about, you know, we're collecting guys on, you know, pictures of guys on cardboard, essentially. So since it's not that valuable, but you know, the money in your wallet right now is a president's face on green paper, essentially. So it's kind of the same thing, but in actually quite different, but you get my point. So we'll move on to our members. We got Baseball Nut and San Jose Fuji, two of the nicest and most loyal members of our forum. They chimed in. I love Baseball Points here. He says, for the most part, he agreed with most of my points there, and he's tried them, I think, at some point in time during his collection. But he says, helping a collector, you know, helping another collector, like kind of introducing another collector. He says this is part of the reason why he has his blog, and you can find his blog at booboobsu.blogspot.com. And he says, you know, helping another collector, maybe even helping like a new collector. I want to do box breaks, not to spoil. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to make this happen, but I do have a friend. I know we've made my girlfriend do it in the past where she's opened up a box of cards. I do have a friend that I opened up. I went to the store in Modesto that I was talking about earlier, and I bought a box, and I went to Turlock where I was visiting some friends, and we opened up a box with my buddy, and he said he hadn't opened up a box of cards since, like, probably since Ken Griffey Jr. was a rookie and when most people were collecting, you know, in the 90s and stuff like that. So it was fun. And I was like, man, it'd actually be great to get that kind of on video. A guy, you know, opening up packs for the first time in like 10, 15, 20 years. But maybe we'll do that in the future where I'll convince some friends to open up this box of cards. I know you've opened up packs before. Let's do it on YouTube and see how that goes. But I think that's a good point, is like, you know, help a new collector, help somebody else into the hobby, and maybe, you know, see what kind of questions they have, because they'll probably have all kinds of questions. You'll have to explain all kinds of stuff. I know this podcast, you know, I don't want to say that it's advanced, but if you're a brand new person to the hobby, I know I've had plenty of people listen to the show, and most people aren't brand new to the hobby because you've collected at some point in your life. But if you know, haven't seen cards in 10 years or 15 years, you know, they're pretty cool. And when my buddy saw the autograph cards, because Topps Chrome, it was 2010, good segue, I guess, to 2011, but we have a little bit more to talk about. When we pulled the autographs, he was like, oh man, that's sweet. You get them in, you know, in the packs, you know, that's sweet. So those kind of things are interesting. So introducing a new collector, finding somebody that maybe used to collect cards or you think that would collect cards. I think there's a lot of people out there that would probably enjoy this hobby if they had somebody, you know, introduce them, you know, or give them a helping hand into the hobby and show them some of the cards they can collect. So maybe for this Christmas, since we're not really, you know, we're not really in that zone where we start thinking about Christmas. Some people do if they really like planned gifts early, and I've been thinking about, I have some gift ideas. I'll probably talk about them on a future show. I'll shout out my maybe it'll be like our Christmas gift special, but it'll be almost all non-sports cards. But my advice to you is probably to do the opposite of that is actually maybe think about Christmas or think about people's birthdays or whatever, especially people that like sports or like a certain team or even like fantasy football and stuff. Get him his whole fantasy team in different cards and stuff like that. You can, you know, I know I've given my dad and my parents and stuff, just you get certain baseball cards and maybe a couple photographs of a certain player that they might like, and you just go to the frame shop and you find something that'll work. Usually it's not that expensive. You can go to even like Target and stuff like that and get ones that are like pre-made, and sometimes you got to cut corners and stuff like that. But you know, give away stuff like that, give away the cards and give away boxes and packs and stuff like that to people that you think might get into the hobby. I think it might be a good idea, and it definitely could recharge your collection. It definitely could recharge your battery and say, hey, this is a fun hobby. I'm watching somebody else have fun with it for the first time in a while or for the first time ever. And so that might be kind of exciting. And our next one, I'm not really good at reading posts, but I'm going to try to read San Jose Fuji because he makes a lot of good points here. So this is what San Jose Fuji posted on our forum. San Jose Fuji says, since I jumped back into the hobby a few years ago, I've constantly been refocusing my collection. I have tried all your suggestions in one form or another, with the exceptions of making big purchases only. I'm presently focusing on my PC, which are mainly memorabilia cards and autograph players from my favorite teams, which all span all four sports. In addition, I've created some unique PC personal collection for those that don't speak forum speak, I guess, on a podcast, like my Sports Bus personal collection and my birthday personal collection. He says, this summer, I started filling my binders with inserts from the 90s. I like filling 9-pocket binder pages with 90s inserts with some legendary athletes from the junk wax era. So, hey, just like we all used to do. He continues and says, I'm also starting to collect cheap vintage cards of Hall of Famers. Check out mycards.com, and local card shows have been an excellent source for this particular collection. One thing that's starting to be a problem for me is storage. He says, I have cards everywhere. My parents' house, my friend's garage, in my office, in my garage, and even a few cards scattered in my classroom, because San Jose Fuji is a teacher, and which is a great job for anybody out there that's thinking about a career or thinking, he didn't write this, I'm saying this, anybody thinking about a career or any kind of career path, being a teacher is one of the best jobs in the world. He continues, San Jose Fuji, and he says, I regularly give cards to my students, and he still has too much, so I'm starting to cut back on my spending. And I'm considering selling my stuff off sooner or later. It freaks me out sometimes to think how much I've spent on pieces of cardboard with pictures of athletes on it. But on the flip side, it can be my happy place when I'm trying to get away from everything else. And I think that's really the point to wrap it up on. Two points there. Storage is one, so you kind of have to be careful about that, and those are sometimes the things that could, you know, drive you crazy. And so sometimes you do have to like part with it or give some stuff away or figure out a way to maybe trade, you know, 15 cards for one and those kind of things. But his last point is, hey, it's a happy place. You know, just because it's pictures of guys on cardboard and stuff like that, we do identify with these people. You know, I mean, we all have those athletes that, especially if you're growing up now, but especially if you're my age, you remember those athletes when you were 18, 16, 15, 7, 8, 9, 5 years old, all the way down. You know what I mean? So you remember these guys, and they do become a large part. If you're like my family, you know, athletes and sports actually become a part of the family. You know, I mean, the Los Angeles Lakers, I say I'm a Los Angeles Lakers fan, and most Los Angeles Lakers fans are pretty good. We do have a lot of bandwagon fans, a lot of fans that like us just because we're in LA and we've been successful and all those kind of things. We have popular players at some points and those kind of things. But, you know, in the end, you know, the Lakers are a big part of my family, and we've watched games together and been disappointed and talked on the phone about the Lakers and all kinds of things. And so that's important. And, you know, cards kind of brings that all together. If you have James Worthy's autograph, it's pretty sweet, you know, or Magic Johnson's autograph if you're a Lakers fan. If you're, you know, New York Knicks, Patrick Ewing, or even John Stark. I know John Starks is a pretty decently collected New York Knicks that I can remember. I know that they have a lot of other great players and things things like that. But in my era of Knicks basketball, but there's a lot of popular players out there, and they do give us that kind of happy place. It is nice getting their autographs. It is nice just getting just their card when you're opening packs and stuff like that. So that's the whole point of collecting. That's the whole point of why you probably should stay in collecting. And if you've been burnt out or bad things have happened, whatever, in the hobby or out of the hobby, whatever it might be, you know, it's always okay to take a break. It's always okay to kind of say, oh, I'm going to, you know, take a break from the hobby. Oh, I'm going to take a month off. I'm going to, you know, just like this podcast. Hey, I'm going to take a month off. I'm going to, you know, just relax. That wasn't really my plan. I'm not going to say I planned that. It's just how it ends up working out. And that's usually how it works out with collecting. You know, hey, maybe you got overtime at the job, or maybe you lost your job, or maybe you got divorced. If that would be unfortunate, but you know, losing your job's pretty bad too. But maybe bad stuff's been happening to you, so you got to figure out a way to turn your luck around. And sometimes you got to take a step back. Hopefully it's not that negative. Hopefully it's like maybe you've got good job and you got a good income, you got a great family, great wife, whatever it might be, and you just spent too much on cards and you just overspent, you know, and you just got burnt, you know, you just overdid on your budget. Those kind of things can happen, but it's always okay to take a little break, recharge, you know, put the plug in the wall, let it sit there for a while, make sure that light turns from red to green. And, you know, refocus, think about things. You know, it's always good to do internal reflection. And people might think it's silly to do that about cards. I mean, I think it's something you should definitely do, because you're making purchases here. You're making emotional connections with players. You're making, you know, a big step in your life. You're spending a lot of time researching in some cases, unless you're just a total impulse buyer. I know there's some people out there they'll just go to the hobby store, just buy a pack here, or they'll just be walking through Target or Walmart or whatever it might be, and they'll get something, or they'll see a show in the area and they'll save up some money and go there. That's cool too. And that's a great way to kind of just stay fresh all the time. If you're just kind of impulse, you don't really care. But most people do care, and that's why you should do a little, you know, personal reflection. Think about your collection. Think about what's going on. And if things aren't going well, think about ways you can turn around. And hopefully we gave you some ideas in the last 30 minutes, 40 minutes. We've talked about recharging your battery. It took us 40 minutes to recharge our batteries. That's how excited I was to come back on this podcast. Great to be here with you guys talking sports cards. There's nothing I enjoy more. I mean, I hope you could tell it in my voice. I'm so excited to be talking about sports cards. It's very exciting. And after this short break, if you haven't found that segment exciting, maybe I'll be able to excite you in our next segment, where we talk about I would say this is kind of a small set, but it's not a bad set. I would say, yeah, a small set, but sometimes small sets are good. Sometimes there's good things in small packages. We'll talk about, and it might be the set that keeps on giving. We'll talk about Topps Chrome Baseball right after this. Time to talk a little bit about Topps Chrome Baseball. I actually have a little experience with this myself. I actually happened to stop by Target. Can't remember what I was trying to buy. It always happens when you go there and then you see something you haven't seen before there and you have to buy it. I actually went there on September 7th when the product came out a couple days ago and bought a like value pack. It had like three packs in there and it had three orange cards, which aren't orange, I guess they're refractors, but they weren't serial numbered or anything like that. So pretty cool, pretty interesting. Hobby box is the way to go, folks. You get 24 packs, 4 cards per pack. The kicker is you get 2 autograph rookies per box, and there might be additional rookies autographs in there as well. I'll talk about that in a second. But the autograph rookies are actually kind of interesting. They had a smaller checklist when they first put this product out, but they added some players like Brandon Beachy and Hank Conger and Ben Revere. Those are just names I'm familiar with. But Eric Hosmer is in there, and there's lots of other ones. I noticed Brandon Belt's in here. Michael Pineda is a good one. There's lots of different parallels. There's the base versions. There's the refractor, black border. Some of these are in hobby boxes only. In fact, there's a whole black border parallel set that you'll find in there as well. So pretty nice, on-card autograph rookies if you're into, and I say rookie, the problem, I wouldn't say the problem, but the thing is with Topps Chrome, Hank Conger rookie, you know, he has cards going back to 2006. Like, I'm pretty sure it goes back that far. Brandon Belt obviously has cards already. All these guys already. Michael Pineda has a Bowman autograph as well, which is a pretty nice card. So, I don't know. If you're into more, I wouldn't call these like second year. I would call these like professional. This is like when they're in the pros. This is like their first card when they're pros. I guess that's what that whole rookie card thing is. But I wouldn't get too excited. When I say autograph rookie, I wouldn't get too excited here because some of these guys have Bowman. Some of these guys have other things. But if you're into maybe more or less baseball prospects, because let's say Brandon Belt turns into the next great Giants, you know, number three hitter or whatever, you know, or number four hitter, then yeah, this is a nice card, you know, regardless. Or Michael Pineda is like throwing Cy Youngs every year. Yeah, it's a nice card. So, you know, but you do want to bid with caution, or, you know, definitely go out there and see what else he has out there. And obviously if you're into buying all the guy's stuff or buying as much as you can, you don't mind too much. And these are pretty nice looking card. You got Heritage Chrome. I pulled one of those. Those are basically Topps Heritage, just kind of chromed out, and they're serial numbered out of 1962. Then there's a black border parallel. Vintage Chrome, these are kind of neat. They're from 1996, Topps Chrome. I remember that. Those are in the days when Topps Chrome, man, no autograph cards. It was really just a hunt for the refractors and kind of those kind of things. Now those, the refractor cards, what we're flipping through or hoping there's an autograph on it. But it was, sure was fun back in 1996. But if you are a fan of that set, or if you want to go back in those days, they have 50 cards here, Vintage Chrome. That's about it, except I told you I was going to talk about maybe additional autographs. And the USA Baseball College National Team, there's a redemption program. There's still some mystery around here. I don't know if they've actually announced the whole list. There was also, on some of the cards, it says you get a set of cards. And actually on the Topps, like, sell sheet or whatever, it actually said there was two different redemptions. One redemption is for one pack containing 5 to 6 autograph cards. That sounds pretty good. And that's in addition to the two autographs. So some boxes are going to have these redemption cards where you're going to get you send it in and eventually you get this pack with these autograph cards in it. And they're all going to be from the USA Baseball College National Team. And so when I said earlier, the gift that keeps on giving, these guys could end up being future superstars in the MLB. You never know. So it could give pretty well in the future. You never know. But they also said they were going to have team set versions where you got, there were these redemption cards where you get a whole set of cards. And I saw redemption cards where it said you get a set, but I guess you don't get a set. And I want to emphasize that no matter what the redemption card says, to my understanding, you will only get the one pack containing the 5 to 6 autograph cards. So be aware of that when you buy this. I threw up a list on our checklist. If you want to take a look at it, I don't know. You know, I mean, I haven't gotten a confirmed list or anything like this. I just went to the USA Baseball website and found the team. And Topps said there was going to be 20 names. And I think my list has 22 because I think the team, I don't know if they had two extra players or two guys aren't signing or whatever it might be. Or maybe they have 22 in the whole set. I don't know. Maybe there's 15. I have no idea. That's the kind of thing that Topps, maybe it's kind of like Apple, you know, everybody wondering, hey, what's the I think that's like the new iPhone or whatever, iPhone 5 or 4GS or whatever they're going to call it, is coming out. next month or something, but nobody really knows like much about it. You know, there's been, I guess somebody left one at a bar and things like that. So maybe that's what Topps is going for with a lot of these releases. They don't really let you know, and you're left guessing quite a bit of the time. So as I was, so, and as we all are, so we'll see what happens. And, but that's basically Topps Chrome Baseball. Not overly expensive, and you should be able to find it at retail outlets, but I recommend the hobby boxes here. I don't think the hobby boxes are, in fact, I pre-ordered one. I just say I don't really know how much they are. I think they're about $56, $60, somewhere in there. At least that's what I pre-ordered it for. We'll see how that price works out. Maybe I got burnt. Maybe they'll be $45, or maybe as we speak, they're $45. Maybe I did well on it. Maybe they're selling for $70. I have no idea. I don't really care. I'm just doing it for fun. So we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll talk about that video. If we get something tight, maybe I'll talk about that on the next show. But that's Topps Chrome Baseball. To finish my point, I would go for the hobby box because I think, you know, yeah, the parallels are cool. We've only got, you know, the base set is 220 cards. There are quite a few rookies in there. So, you know, unless you get a sweet parallel or, you know, a sweet heritage chrome or something like that, you know, I don't know. The retail, it's pretty good. If you know, again, we've touched a lot on set building and stuff like that and acquiring cards. If you're into that, buying packs and whatever, you buy those anywhere, it doesn't really matter. But if you want to focus in on your collection, you want to focus in on certain things, buying hobby box is probably the way to go, because at least at the end of the day, you're going to end up with two autographed rookies and maybe a redemption card for those USA autographs. So we'll see what happens, and we'll see what happens right after we come back from this very short break. We'll probably just come back, wrap some things up since it's been a month. We'll maybe talk about whatever, just some stuff that's been going on in the hobby, maybe some other stuff. I'll probably talk a little bit about, we had some really good success in our gold. I don't think I reported our results of our gold standard basketball. So we'll talk about that maybe right after this.
And little girls from Sweden dream of silver screen quotation. And if you want these kind of dreams, it's Californication. It's the edge of the world in all of Western civilization. The sun may rise in the east, at least it's settled in a fine. It's understood that Hollywood sells Californication. Hey, El Sergeant Vero, while they break the spell of aging, celebrity skin, is this your chin or is that one?
We are back. Probably just a little quick outro here. Not a whole lot to say, but we did open up a box of Gold Standard thanks to Panini America. They're very generous. That wasn't all we opened. There was a lot of other boxes that they sent us at that time. So we really appreciate that. And it was a lot of fun to open the Gold Standard box because we got a real gold card. It was very exciting. If you haven't checked our YouTube page is out, our YouTube videos. I threw it up on the site. If you go to our website and you go to popular YouTube pages or popular YouTube videos and stuff like that, you'll see the Gold Standard box on there. And we pulled, to totally spoil for you, I guess you're not going to go watch it now, but we totally pulled a Kevin Garnett gold medalist piece of like 14 karat gold. It was so sweet. It was numbered out of 10. Those cards are really nice. I've seen some of them. I think I've seen a Magic Johnson sell for like $90, $100. It might have been $120. I think I might have saw a Kareem not sell for about $50. Or somebody posted that on our forum. Like not sell for like $50 or $60, somewhere in that range. Those are pretty interesting cards. With the price of gold kind of going up and down, tremendous swings in the gold market. Hey, those cards might just double in money next year if gold doubles in value. just the piece, I wouldn't say the card doubles in value, but the piece of gold in there doubles in value. Literally, that's pretty impressive. So I kind of like those cards. Adds a little bit. I think the more that the card companies can do a little bit with metal, I don't have a problem with that. You know what I mean? Like, I could see, like, people might have a problem. Like, there's stamp cards and stuff like that. And I think those are pretty cool, and it's good that they don't use them for every set. Stamps, not necessarily going to add a huge amount of value to the card, but it doesn't necessarily go with the card that well. But we have had in the past, I think there was, like, even, well, Leaf Metal just came out with, I don't think all the cards are metal, they kind of look like metal, but using metal in cards, especially precious metals like gold and platinum and stuff like that, that's pretty cool. I think that's pretty neat. And, you know, see what happens going forward. Maybe we'll see some interesting designs. We'll see some interesting stuff. I know we'll see Gold Standard Football this year. And if you want to check that out, that comes out in a couple weeks, I think. I can't remember. You can go to sportscardradio.com and find our box release calendar, box break calendar, whatever it's called. And whatever it's called, I do update that page weekly, if not sometimes multiple times during the week, when things are getting moved around, so you'll be able to stay on tap for everything that's coming out. I guess that's about it. You know, I guess I wish I had more cool story. I wish I could say I was, like, in the Caribbean, or I was, like, you know, flying private jets across the world and stuff for the last month. I really haven't. I haven't done anything exciting. I shouldn't say I haven't done anything exciting, especially my girlfriend is tuning in at the 48th minute. You know, we've had, you know, some fun just collecting cards and just kind of seeing, you know, what's going on in the hobby. I've been spending a lot of, I guess I will admit what I've been spending all, not all my time on, but I have been spending a lot of time on the stock market. It's been very exciting. It's been very entertaining and those kind of things. You know, large swings, big swings up and down. News of, like, double dip recessions. You know, most people, that's, like, horrible news to them. And it really is. I feel bad because it does affect a lot of people. I hope that doesn't happen. I'm not one of those people that hopes it happened. But I just find it interesting to see the process, to see how it all plays out, see if we can stay out of, like, bad times and stuff like that. And so that's kind of what I've been doing. Been an exciting month. You could go look at the S&P 500 chart and see why I didn't record a podcast in August. But hopefully those kind of things don't keep me from doing any more podcasts in the future. And in fact, it won't, because I'm so excited. I've been meaning to record this podcast for weeks, if not almost a month, over a month. So I'm excited to be back, excited to recharge my battery. I think I overcharged it, and I'm very excited to be back. So we'll probably be back. I have my next topic. Don't normally tease shows. I don't know when this is going to be. It could be a month from now. I hope not. I hope I'm not that lazy, but I don't think I will be. But my next topic on the next show, if you want to send me any ideas that you might have, I'll post a thread on the forum here in the next couple days. But I want to talk about sports card boom, and this will kind of wrap us up for today's show. I'll kind of preface our next, kind of give you the idea for what I'm thinking about on our next show. So the sports card boom, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about Griffey and the 90s and things exploding, you know, kind of across all sports, because, like, Michael Jordan was hot, Shaq was hot, you know, baseball was all roided up. Now, baseball has had good players. And, I mean, you had Cal Ripken, you had even Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, you know, provided great entertainment. So you had a lot of, and even football, you had, like, Emmitt Smith and John Elway and Steve Young, and Joe Montana was still playing a little bit there in the 90s. So exciting stuff there was going on in the 90s. A lot of it was player driven. Some of it, there was some other factors in there. But really, you could say, hey, sports card was booming, you know what I mean? Compared to maybe like 1986, 1985, 1984, maybe even back into the 70s a little bit, cards were still doing well, but definitely in the 90s, cards started booming. So it became pretty good business. Not that it wasn't good business before or after, but it seemed to be very, very profitable. It seemed to be a lot of card stores, a lot of people trying to, that's when you know an industry is booming, when everybody's trying to get in, when, you know, Google's buying Motorola, you know that cell phone and mobility and getting your products on mobile phones is hot, you know? So it's just like sports cards, you know? My question to you, I guess, is, you know, your thoughts on another sports card boom. I would say that it's been a while. I'd say that sports cards kind of, you could kind of look at it like the U.S. You know, we kind of went in a recession with cards. You know, kind of boomed. It definitely didn't have sustainable demand, maybe. Maybe people were buying cards thinking they were going to be the next Donald Trump or Warren Buffett or something like that, and they just, it didn't work out for them, so they got burnt out. It totally goes along with what we talked about in the first segment, where a lot of people just got burnt out or didn't have the focus or didn't have, you know, the ability to maybe take a break or take some time off and think about, hey, what do I really want to collect? What do I really want to get about off these guys, off these cards on, you know, pictures of guys on cardboard? What do I want to get out of that? You know, and now we have autographs. It's a little bit more, I guess, if you're just collecting base and stuff like that, it essentially is just a picture. But autographs and game more memorabilia, there is a decent amount of collectability, I think, in those, especially if a player is widely collectible. So I want to see your thoughts on a sports card boom. You know, do you think we're going through one now? Do you think, you know, maybe the booms are just mini booms now, where we have like Steven Strasburg, like mini boom, and maybe like Blake Griffin was kind of like a mini boom for basketball. But it just seems like, you know, in the 90s, we had all these different players and all this different, you know, across all sports just blowing up. Michael Jordan just blowing up. Ken Griffey Jr. blowing up. You know, even the Dallas Cowboy teams and some of the 49er teams just exploding with popularity. So is it all based on the players? Is it, you know, what is it? Hey, is it ease of buying and selling? Was it because we had all these sports card shops all over the place? Is that caused the boom, or did that cause the bust? You know what I mean? So we could talk about, we'll probably talk about a little bit of both, a little bit of sports card boom and a little bit of bust. But really what I want to focus on is, hey, you know, it seems like sports cards, we've come down from the big explosion and the big, like, profit era or whatever you want to call it for sports cards. And we've kind of come down. We've got exclusive license. We've got them kind of limiting the products and all that. You know, hey, can we set ourselves up for another boom? Can cards blow up? Do we even want them to blow up? You know what I mean? So we'll try to answer a lot of those questions. And if you have any of it, answer those questions, you can always send us an email at sportscardshow@gmail.com. And I know I've promised this on last shows, and I know I've promised a lot of things and I hardly ever come through. But we try to do our best here at sportscardradio.com. I will have our phone set up again. My computer, it has nothing to do with me not paying the bill, because Magic Jack is not very expensive. It has nothing to do with me not having the phone line. It just has to do with my computer. It has to do with me being cheap or poor enough and slash cheap enough to not buy another computer. And I'm still trying to resuscitate this computer I have now that I'm looking on and I'm recording this podcast. It can record podcast, but that's about it. So we'll fix that. We'll get things all worked out. And we'll be able to have some call-in shows. I got some other things that hopefully I'm recharging my batteries here. Hopefully we'll be able to. And plus, you know, August, I wouldn't say that it's like the slowest month for like buying cards. I would say that, you know, we're at the tail end of baseball season. Football just started tonight, and I got to say, Randall Cobb cards probably going to blow up just a little bit. I wouldn't say that if he was on the, I don't know, maybe if he was on the Saints, but definitely because he's on the Packers. The Packers have so many fans, and they're so energized because of the Super Bowl. My brother actually just got back from Wisconsin. He was at a Pearl Jam concert there, and he says it still is a big deal that they won the Super Bowl, you know, and I know the feeling because it still is a big deal the Giants won the World Series. And I know baseball fans out there, I know some of you are Giants fans. Most of you probably aren't Giants fans. And I guarantee you, most of you don't even care that the Giants won the World Series last year. And some of you, if I asked you who won the World Series last year, you might not even know. And you might be a big baseball fan. So, but out here in San Francisco, trust me, not a day goes by, not a minute goes by on a Giants broadcast or anywhere out here on advertisements, on Budweiser and bars, everywhere. It's Giants, 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 Giants. Giants just won the World Series. Giants are champions. Giants World Series hats at Sears and at Walmart. Martin, wherever, you know what I mean? So it's really important. So we'll see what teams come through. It's that obviously is big for this weekend. Hopefully you guys have all your fantasy football lineup set. I know that we started a league for our fan forum. Unfortunately, my brother canceled it. He doesn't like it when people don't draft. I had a golf outing with my dad. I've almost said appointment, but playing golf is never an appointment. But whenever my dad asked me to play golf, you don't say no. So I had to go that during the draft. I did rank my players. I ended up with a great team, but we did cancel that draft. But I know most of you are in multiple leagues. You have multiple fantasy football things going on, so you probably have found plenty of things to do. So I wish you all luck this weekend if you play fantasy football. And we'll see what happens. But on our next show, send us some feedback. Boom or bust. What's going to happen in the sports? Are we just going to muddle along? Things are just going to kind of, you know, the collector base we have now. You can maybe put an estimate on how many collectors there are out there, or approximate how many collectors there might be out there. Is that number going to stay the same? Maybe slightly grow over the years, next 5 to 10 years? Is it just going to maybe peak in certain areas, or is it just going to blow up, just double, triple, quadruple in number over the years for a certain reason? Yeah, send me some feedback, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Folks, that wraps it up for today. Thank you for tuning in today and joining us on today's program. We'll be back for another one. I can almost guarantee it. This isn't like a Chad Johnson old school guarantee or like Johnny Unitas guarantee, but I can almost guarantee you the next show will be sooner than this one from the last show that we had. So you have that to look forward to. Until then, we are out of here.